Welcome to another Encompass Church podcast. We hope that you are inspired and challenged by God's word. For more information about our church, please check out www.encompass.org.au.
How's everyone doing? It was all dark. I just thought I'd whisper instead and just see how that starts off. Who's seen Inside Out here? Yeah, some of you. So Alyssa and I don't, we're mature adults, so we don't watch animations much, but I was forced to watch it this time, and it's actually a really intelligent and clever movie. If you have a bit of time, if you have like 90 minutes, I would encourage you to go watch it. It's fantastic. But for those of you who have not watched it, just to give you a bit of a general gist off the movie, it's about this little girl named Riley who we just saw. And we follow Riley throughout her toddler ages up until when she's a teenager. But not only do we follow her around, but we also follow her insides, hence the title Inside Out. And so what we find is that her emotions are represented by characters in the movie. So for example, you've got Joy, and Joy is always joyful, right? Like, as in Joy is always seeing things in the greatest light. Everything is positive with joy. Like, as in, has anyone ever met a happy Christian? Like one of those ones, oh yes, you know, it's one of those kind of people. Just joking, not religious here at all. Anyway, then you've got sadness, for example. Sadness is, I'm so deflated. Like, sadness is always seeing the doom and gloom about it all. Like, as in, it's just like, like, my equivalent of sadness is Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. It's just moping around, always seeing the sad side of life. And then, who we saw a little bit of just then is Fear, who's a little scrawny guy. And this is how I kind of imagine Fear is a bit like your mum before you leave out for an event or something like that. She'll be like, be careful, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. It's like this list, this Excel spreadsheet that's automatically ready of why you shouldn't do something. Anyone like see life a little bit like that where you're just like, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't. No, okay, that's fine. Anyway, and then you've got Disgust, and there's a scene in the movie where Riley's given broccoli, and out of nowhere, like, and for no reason, the smell of it, whatever else, Disgust kicks in and just kind of throws it away, and the baby starts crying, or Riley in baby form starts crying. Who likes broccoli here? Man, every church service, everyone loves broccoli. It's like, isn't it normal not to like broccoli? Or are we just all turning like gypsies, like vegans and stuff? Anyway, whatever. That's cool. I have nothing against that. And then you've got anger. And anger is just an angry guy. He walks around, and whether it's putting his foot down or whether it's escalating a situation, he is always going to turn things into an argument, or he's always going to act abruptly. He's going to be a little bit, you know, snappy at you. And so, this whole concept of Inside Out is revolved around these characters controlling an inside control panel, which kind of looks like this. And I don't know, as I was watching this movie, I kind of just went, imagine if you and I had this kind of emotional control panel in our minds and emotions running through a little bit like this movie. I think that's a really scary thought, as in, like, that just freaks me out right there. But can I just say, as in, I know some of you might be thinking, hey, Jason, I'm not emotional, I'm spiritual, right? As in who? No, don't put your hand out. And then for other people here, it might be like, no, I'm not emotional, I'm not spiritual, I'm factual. I just, give me the facts. But in the end, as human beings, we are all emotional beings. You know, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, Paul actually writes, it says, and this is paraphrased, it says, about being led by the flesh. It says, the fruit that comes from the flesh is jealousy, hostility, anger, lust, pride, and selfishness. And then he writes about the fruit of the Spirit, where he says, that produces fruit such as patience, peace, gentleness, self-control, joy, and kindness. You know, I just believe as Christians and as churchgoers, however you want to see, you know, we should always be looking to produce more fruits of the Spirit than fruits of the flesh. You know what? We are in a spiritual battle, and our emotions are tightly aligned and connected to the Spirit side. And so what we need to do is keep our emotions in check throughout life. But before we go any further, why don't we bow our heads and pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your church. And right now, God, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit comes and just starts to speak to us from the word go, God, Lord. Lord, allow our hearts to be softened, God, Lord, and allow us to hear you during this time, God, Lord. We commit this time to you. We commit this day to you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. You know, I was looking at some scriptures in the Bible in regards to emotions, right? And there's not exactly any, like, proverbs to say, hey, emotions are bad. Like, it doesn't say, hey, oh, hey, Jace, or, you know, proverb man, like, hey, emotions are good. Do you know what I mean? But there's different characters in the Bible that you find that show emotions at times. They exercise emotions. And I thought the best person to go from is in the Gospels, obviously, Jesus. And everyone likes Jesus in church, right? Everyone say Jesus. Yay, happy friends. So there's lots of examples of Jesus showing emotions in the Bible. You know, what we find in the Gospels is that Jesus felt compassion for people when he was feeding the 5,000. What we find is that he was like saying, hey, we've been walking for days and they're hungry. I feel compassion. We need to feed them. Secondly is when we find him actually feeling grief and sorrow for his best friend Lazarus. What we find is that people have just come up running to Jesus going, hey, Jesus, Lazarus is sick, he's passed. And he feels grieved for him and sorrow because of his friend passing away. Later on we find is that Jesus also felt grieved when he felt that the Pharisees' hearts were hardened. You know, I wonder if he grieves for us when our hearts are hardened towards him. You know, he also, I reckon from his grief of these hearts, he also gets frustrated. I reckon he gets a bit frustrated at us sometimes. And it says that he looked upon them angrily. Maybe that was Jesus' version of a death stare, like kind of going, like a greasy that you may get from someone that you know, not my wife, just other people. I don't want to go there. Let's not. And Jesus got a little bit angry, you know, at times. And, you know, what you find is, I don't know, did anyone have any road rage this morning? Anyone just kind of, we're all Christian here. Fantastic. But, like, you know, sometimes he got a little bit angry and in a moment of passion, because he loves God's house so much, and how when he saw people treating the Father's house in a particular way, he chose to flip some tables and just show his passion and get angry in that situation. So the fact is, Jesus showed emotions at times throughout the gospel. It's documented. So on that note, and on the Jesus note, I thought it's best for me to confess. It is best for me, because we're in church, we're all truthful, right? Like we're all, yes, okay, I'll take it as a yes. And I just thought in this moment, I needed to confess and tell you what I'm like, because I know I can come across like I've got it all together. Anyone with a mic must mean that they have it all together, true? Like as in it just must... It's not the case at all. So I just want to be really upfront and tell you all, and don't tell my wife, she's not in this service, yes, and we won't show her the podcast, but in the end, I am an extremely, extremely, extremely emotional person. I haven't said, I'm just feeling emotional saying it. It's I don't know what to do with me. I'm an extremely emotional person. I remember six months ago, when Alyssa and I were driving to Pastor John and Lois's house, our senior pastors, also known as my in-laws, and we were driving there, and can I just say up front, as we were driving there, I already had a bit of a bee in my bonnet about a few things. We were going to talk church. It was an official meeting, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to bring it up, but I wanted to talk about a few things. I was feeling a little bit frustrated about a few things. And so then we drive there, we get there, and the meeting goes for about an hour and a half, 90 minutes. 60 minutes into the conversation, Pastor John is sitting here, Pastor Lois here, Alyssa is here, and all of a sudden these topics of conflict start to come up in conversation. And me being the self-controlled, non-emotional person that I am, if I was the movie Inside Out, I would feel that anger guy was coming in and starting to take control of the control panel right then and there. Like all of a sudden, my questions just started to become a little bit more direct. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'm being a bit too polite here. Like my statements were a little bit more confrontational, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before. And if for those of you that hang around me, sometimes I can be a little bit direct. I apologize in advance for all the things I'm going to do. But, you know, and all of a sudden my statements just had a little bit more bite to them. And before I knew it, I was actually out of control, because on my insides, I'm just kind of going, Jason, they are your senior pastor. Show a little bit of honor and respect, man. And on the other side, it's like, Jason, it's even worse. They're your in-laws. Show a little bit more respect. Like, as in, come on, like, control yourself. But unfortunately, in that moment, when anger took control over my control panel, he kind of came about, and all of a sudden, I got up. Like, I actually stood up physically, and I ended up storming out of the house. Didn't even say goodbye. Like, as in, that was, I'm so sorry. I did apologize a few days. Thank you. Pastor John says, I'm forgiven. It's all good. But No, but honestly, like, as in, and, you know, we actually laughed about it a few weeks ago. I called Pastor John up, going, hey, do you mind if I share this story? I think it will show emotions and my issues very well. And then he's like, yeah, what was that even about? I'm just like, mate, I got so upset about it. You don't even remember what it's about. That hurts. That hurts. Anyway, that's a side story. And yeah, clearly I've got some issues. Anyway, but you know, what you find is that when an emotion takes over, your control panel goes out the window, and all of a sudden, it's so hard to take, like, as in to have some self-control, to be self-aware in a moment. Is anyone else a little bit like me at times, that they kind of just kind of go a little bit crazy? A couple of hands out. Oh, yep, few more. Yeah, God. You know what? There are plenty of hands going out, and thank you, because not all services was as gracious as you guys. As in, they always just let me out to hang and just kind of went, nah, it's just your problem, mate. I was like, mate, damn. So anyway, what we find is that our emotions act out and our control panel is taken over. And I just believe that this morning, if we can just enter this idea that, you know what, it doesn't have to be this way. It actually, we don't have to always be controlled by our emotions. We can have self-control. We can have self-awareness. You know, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, it says that, it says, Paul writes, so I say, allow the Holy Spirit to guide your life. Allow the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I just kind of go, I can't even sense the Holy Spirit in a moment. Like, my emotions override. It just gets the better of me. I just can't ignore, I can't slow down enough and stop enough to kind of go, hey, where's God in this moment right now, to calm myself down? If I had to just be a little bit honest this morning. And I know this just might be for me, and it may not be for you, and you might have it all together. But maybe if you listen in this morning, you could just learn from someone that sometimes doesn't always get it right. Are you with me this morning, church? You know, I remember three or four years ago, I was working in quite a hostile environment, right? And I was just under pressure and working probably 50 plus hours a week. And in that moment, but I don't think it was about the hours as such, but it was probably more about the feeling I had when I was there. I was discouraged. I was hurting. At times, there was a lot of conflict and change management that had to go on. And unfortunately, what I didn't realize in those moments is how I would respond, not at work, but at home. You see, I was living at my parents' house at the time with my sister, and what I would find, and soon to find out as I even reflect on it now, is that I would work 9 to 5, finish, come home, and then all of a sudden, I would shut down. I would either eat and then sleep, or eat and then just watch sport, but I would just totally be disconnected from the people around me. I wouldn't, like, people would get, my mum, being a mother's boy, she kind of just was like, nah, he's just stressed out, he's overworked. People will start making excuses for you. You know, before you know it, you start actually owning the emotions as who you are. This is just the way I was brought up. This is what I saw when I was little. I'm just a fearful or anxious person. This is who, you start claiming it actually over your life. No, I'm just a worrier. You know, I'm just this, I'm just that. And you start, like, just, I guess, really casting your own vision, casting your own future out. You see, that's the problem with our emotions. They fly under the radar. You see, Pastor Joel spoke on it last week about a frozen heart. But not only are they frozen, but they're deceitful. And our emotions and our heart are linked. You know, Jeremiah 17, it says that our hearts are deceitful above all things. Our emotions and our heart. Before you even know it, you're already caught in a cycle. They've flown under the radar and you're caught in a cycle. When you're caught in a cycle, not only do you end up just not knowing that it's happening, but you end up acting out. Like, it actually goes a little bit further. And what do I mean by that? It spirals and it escalates out of control. So, for example, the movie Inside Out, as in we have Riley, who is a great girl, and in her teenage years, obviously, with a few things changing in her life, her parents decide to move house. And in her moving house, they say, I think it hurts Riley, obviously, and the emotions start kicking into gear where she feels a sense of sadness at the fact that they've moved house. So there's the trigger. Then it moves to sadness. And then out of sadness, then she feels a bit of, you know, frustration and anger because her parents are just not getting her, right? Like, as in they just don't understand what she's going through, what she's feeling. So then from sadness, it moves to frustration, frustration to anger, and anger to confusion. And out of her confusion, she ends up running away. You know, I wonder how many of us here could backtrack some of our maybe bad decisions or maybe also known as mistakes as a relation to our emotional timeline, you know, how they're related to some degree. You know, I just believe that a lot of bad decisions and mistakes are made and directed when we're being driven by our emotions and when we're lacking self-control and self-awareness. For you, you might be working and you have a boss. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes bosses can make you feel like this big. I don't know if you've ever worked for a company where your boss is kind of just really putting you down, making you not feel like you're meeting the KPIs or the requirements. And so then all of a sudden, like as in you feel like that at work, but then you go home to your wife, right? And your wife just says one thing wrong. And all of a sudden you've just gone all crazy because of what's going on at work. Right, and it's all related. So then, all of a sudden, anger kicks in, and you start arguing. But arguing spirals out of control to physical abuse. You know, Pastor John and I were talking about it this week. Physical abuse on all areas is just unacceptable in all ways. In all ways. And you know what? We're not here to play church here. But the fact is, if you're going through anything of this nature, we would ask that you come and see your pastoral team. As in, this is what we're here to do. We're here to help. But, you know, maybe you're at home and maybe the marriage is not going so well and you're just not feeling the love that you once felt before. And you point fingers and you go, oh, no, that's his problem, that's her problem. That's beside the point. But all of a sudden you feel neglected. From that neglect, you may feel a sense of, you know, you're lacking a bit of love and you require fulfillment from other areas. So then you seek, I guess, fulfillment or connection with either another person that isn't your husband or wife. Come on, we're getting a bit more real now, a little bit more to the point, as in we find a connection with someone else that isn't our wife or husband. Maybe you find it in a substance, whether that's alcohol or drugs, or maybe you find it in an online addiction. The spiral from just feeling a sense of dejection and rejection, all of a sudden, what happens is that you've got addictions, and there is destructiveness in your life. Affairs. Emotions. It's important that we keep our emotions in check. You know, if you had to ask yourself this morning, who was running your emotional control panel in 2015? What would the answer be? Were you living and seeing life in fear? Were you living in grief or greed? Were you hurting and feeling resentful? You know, not only do emotions cause us to act out when we're caught in a cycle, not only do they fly under the radar, but we lose our vision. We lose our perspective in life. We carry it in every area of our life. If it's in work, we carry it home. If it's at home, you carry it to your friendship groups. If it's at school, you bring it back. But it starts to take a full-time residency over your life. And in everything that you do, you're just caught and trapped in this emotional roller coaster because in the end, the system is only being run by one thing and it's not you. You're being controlled and you feel and you sense that there's no way out. I'm glad we go to church because, you know, there's always good news at church, right? Because that kind of was like, whoa, no. You know, this morning,
just with one more story, I just want to paint a picture for you. You know, last year in 2015, Alyssa and I just got married, and we'd been married for a couple of weeks, I reckon. And I went back to work, and there'd been a restructure in the organisation. So a new COO, like operating officer, whatever. And in the end, what that meant for me is that I got a new boss and a new reporting line. And so what happens, and you might be like, hey, get me a new boss. I don't like my current boss. You know, that's fine. But like for me, I actually enjoyed who I was reporting to at the time, and we had a good relationship. But with this new boss, all of a sudden, things start to get a little bit different. And to be honest, right today, we're actually really good friends. But leading into it, as in, he would be quite confrontational with how he would go about things. Remember how I talked about the boss that made people feel this small? Well, that was kind of this guy. Through his questioning, through his demeanor, just through the way he went about business, I didn't feel like I was very good at my job. I didn't feel like I got things right. I never thought that I was I would go to work week to week and kind of go, I don't know if I'm going to have a job next month. Like, that's how he made me feel. Do you know what I mean? As in, there were moments in time, I think if anyone was around me during that time, I'd be so honest. I'd be I'm really struggling at work right now. I'm not sure. And think about it. I just got married. Think about all these factors, right? Got new bills, new mortgage, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I'm insecure in my role, in my job, my paycheck. It messes with your insights. So all of a sudden, I got caught out, and I remember speaking to Alyssa about this recently, where she was just saying, you know, Jace, you got really snappy during that season. You know, you got kind of really, I guess, you started to take everything personally, and everything was about you, and you were super sensitive. I'm like, no, I wasn't. And I'm like, you're right. Alyssa's always right. That's the line of the day. No, just joking. But, you know, I just realized upon reflection that, you know, I was about to be caught in a cycle. I just to share a bit of an illustration further or tell you a bit more of the story, I used to go into work and go to the toilet, and I used to, at times stand in the mirror and just be broken, as in tears would be running down my face, kind of just going, I don't know how long I'm going to last here. It broke me. I'm not sure if anyone else has been here in that kind of situation, but that's hard to manage. That's hard to be self-aware about. That's hard to have self-control over. But I realized this time, knowing that I was newly married and I was entering a new season of my life, it was time to change things. I couldn't go on. And this morning, if this message is for anyone, it's for anyone that is caught in a cycle, that is just not knowing what to do, that you feel like you're on an emotional roller coaster, this morning is for you to say, hey, you know what? It is time to override the system. It is time to take a step over the line and change things around. Go up another gear in your life. Because the thing is, you've been living in this system that is so destructive that you have no future, no vision. And the fact is, it's time to break the cycle. It's time to break the habit. So everyone say how. Everyone say how like you mean it. How? I'm glad you asked. So how do you break the cycle of, I guess, a habit? Or how do you break a cycle of this emotional roller coaster of what you're going through? Well, here are just three things as I close that I want to just share with you of what I've applied in my life. And the first one is stay accountable. And so whether I like it or not, my wife, Alyssa, she's quite confrontational and quite straight, but she's found a way, and this is really important here, she's found a way to confront me without offending me. And can I say, I'm on the spectrum of I easily get frustrated, easily get offended. I very easily get offended. So for Alyssa, she's found a way to kind of go, Jace, are you okay? And really softly approach me and raise some things that she might be spotting. I do the same with her. I just go, hey. And the fact is that she knows that I know that she loves me, and she's raising it because she loves me, and all of a sudden I can address it. Does that make sense? I just believe that the word says, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, two are better than one, Ecclesiastes. It's something that there's a reason why you're in community. There's a reason why you're in even a connect group, because the people around you are here to help you. We're not here to just keep doing life in a ritual. It's kind of like we want to go from you know, strength to strength. We want to grow in whatever we're doing. So my wife kind of just has learnt the art of confronting Jason Newcastle without offending him. That's number one. Number two is, and this might make some people feel uncomfortable, but I see a counsellor. So I've got an appointment booked February 3rd, I think 2 p.m. And listen, I'm very open about this because some people are very closed about it. And I just think we need to get out of this cycle of kind of thinking that only sick people go to counsellors. It's a smart person thing. And so if you want to work on something, you've got to get a bit smarter about it and bring the right people into your life, professionally qualified if must. But so for me, I have a standing appointment with someone just to kind of say, hey, listen, I got to keep these things in check. Like as in, and even if there's something I don't see coming or whatever, this person actually may. He's got a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, and all of a sudden, I've got accountability in what I'm doing. Are you with me this morning? It's good. It's good. So firstly, it's stay calm. And secondly, I've learned the art of a self-talk, and I hear myself when I'm talking now. So at times, this thing, this guy here, also called a mouth, doesn't have a filter. I want to put that out there. Sometimes I say the wrong things. Sometimes I kind of just jump the gun, get a bit snappy. This is most of the time in the wrong, but that's who's to judge, you know what I mean? The filter here, it's not working. So sometimes I can say things that I quickly regret, right? And I don't know if you've... And I've learned how to hear what I'm saying. And this is something I'm still practicing, can I just say? And I haven't got it right, but I've learned to kind of go, did you just say that? And then all of a sudden, I kind of go, hey, listen, I didn't mean that at all. And I don't know how many arguments have actually not happened because of my ability to say, hey, listen, Span or Alyssa, I'm just going, I can't, sorry about that, I didn't mean it, I take it back. And she's very gracious, and I think the people around us, if we just chose to take back a few statements that we said, I reckon there would be moments that they would show a lot of grace to us at the fact that we're willing to admit that. You know, the fact is that when you choose to listen to what you're saying, you can then identify the lies. Because sometimes you lie without even knowing it. No, I'm not calling you guys liars. Maybe I am. But in the end, sometimes we say lies without even knowing it. There is no filter sometimes. And sometimes you've got to identify it. You've got to go, hey, hang on, that was wrong. That was too far. I was overreacting. Take a breath. Identify the lies. Hear yourself and then give yourself a good coach, which is yourself. You've got to give yourself a good talk. Jace, turn around and apologize. Jace, come on, pull your head in. Stop doing that. Let's go about this a different way. Jace, don't say that. Say something else. Or just don't talk. That's just my coach. I don't know about what your coach needs to say, but, you know, work it out. Identify the lies. Give yourself a good self-talk. Finally, and Pastor John alluded to this this morning, but then also a few weeks ago in one of his messages about the power of the presence of God. I'm about to get real fired up right now because, like, as in, this is so good. As in, there is something about the power of the presence of God that you cannot deny. People change in the presence of God. And I just believe that when the presence of God is in a place, we should never come out the same way. We should always be different when we encounter Jesus. And so, I guess, when Alyssa and I were dating, I'll never forget, like, we had an interesting dating time where we would just go out for dinners and just get to know each other. We'd go out for dinner, right? And there'd be moments in time where I'd want to, my back went up and I'd just be like, I'm about to crack it, because she would really annoy me in something that she would say. And so what I'd find myself doing is running to the toilet again, but for a different reason. I would be saying, hey, taking a time out in a cubicle, just going, God, if this is meant to be, please give me the peace. Give me the wisdom to deal with this and just give me peace right now. So I'd walk back out and sit at the dinner table once again and everything would be gone. But the presence of God is so powerful. The presence of God can change us. He can shift us in a dramatic way that no doctor, nobody could do. You know, some of us here just need to spend time in the presence of God. You need a new direction. You need a new vision. You need to be corrected. Well, the presence of God is no better place. We've all got emotional problems. As I said earlier, we're all emotional beings. We've all got something to work through. You know, the fight that we face is not by flesh, but it's by spirit. It is a spiritual battle. And so right now, why don't we stand together, believing that God is going to break a cycle, that He's going to give fresh vision, fresh direction in your life. The presence of God is the best place that this could ever happen. He might give you a name that you could stay accountable to. He might give you something to say or some wisdom of how you need to talk to yourself. He's going to give you a next step this morning if we listen out to Him. So right now, with every eye closed, would you lift your hands to the ceiling? Don't let an emotion or a thought stand in the way this morning of you entering the presence of God. I just believe right now He wants to move in this place. Don't let a ritual, don't let a habit, don't let a thought stand in your way. But right now, why don't you ask God, God, give me fresh direction. Give me the next step that I need in this circumstance. Come on, you just say your own prayer. Just ask. God doesn't say don't ask, He says ask. All you got to do is ask. Right now, the worship team are going to lead us. But I would encourage you, if you don't want to sing right now, but just choose to lean in on Him and listen to His voice.
Sing it together, church. Your presence is heaven to me.
We just pray together. Heavenly Father, right now you see these hands raised in complete surrender. And God, Lord, we just pray for a next step where we need to be held accountable. God, Lord, just bring us a new relationship that can help us in this area. God, Lord, where we need to just give ourselves a fresh talk and a fresh perspective on life. Lord, I just pray that you give us the wisdom and the words to say to ourselves. God, Lord, give us self-awareness and self-control. God, Lord, Lord, we just ask, God, Lord, that you fight for us in all areas of our life, God. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Encompass Church podcast. Make sure you check out our website, www.encompass.org.au. We are Encompass Church, a place to belong.